Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are here Fridays, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Welcome. And you know, one of my favorite subjects is talking about relationships of any kind, for that matter, helping you discover deeper, richer, happier, more fulfilling relationships in your lives. And I know a lot of you have read some of those self-help books, because I hear from you about which books you really liked to improve your relationships primarily. And many of them are terrific, you know, in helping you discover better communication skills, and some of the habits and behaviors that are needed to create healthier relationships are great. But today I want to help you with your relationships with my special guest, because we're going to focus on how to discover a deeper and more meaningful connection through what my guest calls mutual awakening. So whether you need to improve your relationship with a friend or a lover or a spouse or whoever, we'll be talking about how to become more available to yourself and to those who really matter in your life, as well as to the world in general. It's a whole revolutionary thing that this particular amazing woman has developed. And Patricia Albert, she's a wonderful writer. As a matter of fact, she's the director of the Evolutionary Collective. She's an internationally known contemporary spiritual leader and author. She's worked with over 200,000 people in groups in the last 40 years. Can you imagine that? Helping so many people, putting her good energy out there into the universe. And her work is creating a new model for mutual awakening and helping people with intimacy, truth, mutuality, and depth. And it occurs in a new type of consciousness. And we're going to find more about that consciousness today. And we're talking about Patricia's latest book. It is a great read. Guys, I'm telling you, this is one of the best relationship books I've ever read. It's called Evolutionary Relationships, Unleashing the Power of Mutual Awakening. And who doesn't want that, right, guys? So let me go ahead and introduce my guest. Patricia, welcome to the show. So nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for inviting me and for saying such a wonderful thing about my book. I really appreciate that.
Well, it was really good. No, you're very welcome.
Very nice.
Oh, no, I loved it, because, you know, you're way advanced to my thinking and my growth spiritually. But along with that, what I really enjoyed was, you know, so much of the therapeutic, you know, information that you give to people, the examples of people who you worked with. And there's also a workbook in here where you can practice these principles and work with your relationship partner or whoever. So that's why everything's got so many elements in it. It was terrific. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So let's talk about what, you know, this pops out when you get the book. It says evolutionary relationships. So what is an evolutionary relationship, Patricia?
It's a good place to start, right?
Might as well.
You know, one of the, I think everybody has, we all have different, you know, gifts, different pieces that we're here to bring. And for some reason, my particular karma has been to be kind of at the beginning of things.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like Forrest Gump, you know, how he just sort of like wanders in and ends up being in situations, you know,
yeah,
that are somehow, you know, significant, yeah, at least in America. And for me, you know, I was very much at the beginning of a sort of transformational coaching. You know, a lot of the work that has come in the last 40 or so years. When I was 18, I met Werner Erhard, who started Landmark and Est and all that stuff. So, and did, you know, worked with him for 12 years and taught that. And
how cool.
So I kind of, you know, and that was before any of that stuff was accepted or prolific, you know, that it was all over the place.
Yeah.
And so with relationships, with this quality of relating that we're going to talk about, there is, you know, evolution is pushing us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, we can even see it if we watch the news. You know, there's a kind of regressive. You can see human beings being almost primitive.
Oh, yeah. My God, yeah.
And you can see people being quite extraordinary, you know, like where you're inspired, where you feel like they're the kind of human that hopefully we're moving into the future as being. And it's the same thing with relationships. You know, relationships, a lot of the times you don't really think about them.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I'll talk about like a love relationship. Well, we think about how to, you know, try to make them work and how to get our needs met. And, you know, I'm sure people think about those things.
Sure.
But we don't always consider what is the kind of, what's the level of our relationship?
Right.
You know, what kind of, what level are we playing the whole thing at?
Right. And I think it's difficult sometimes to really stop when we're in the snowball of a relationship and just dealing with everyday stuff, you know, stuff out there and trying to just live.
Yeah, I mean, I think context is always critical.
Yeah.
You know, like what world are you living in?
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're living in, you know, the world of, you know, let's say being in the South in the 1950s,
that's
a whole world. You know, now you may be trying to work on your relationship, but you're living in a framework that's shaping what's possible.
Yes.
And how you're going to be treated if you're a woman or if you're of color or whatever. You know, there's a whole thing going on there that's different than if you're in 2018 and you live in the Bay Area.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
So different. So, I mean, yeah.
The context of an evolutionary relationship is, if you think of Maslow's hierarchy, relationships, you can look at relationships that way as well.
Right.
And
you
can look at, you know, a basic relationship. And sometimes relationships start off at a higher level and then they kind of devolve into where it just becomes two people that are relatively separate.
Right.
And you're handling logistics.
Exactly.
You know, and if you're in an intimate relationship, you know, sex may have even gotten pretty basic.
Yeah, No, it does, and it has. It's true. It's a basic need sometimes.
Yeah, and so, and then you move up to, you know, safety is next, obviously in our relationships with our friends or business or any of it, you know, you need to have a certain amount of safety.
Right.
That isn't always there. Obviously, we're hearing a lot about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, the next level up would be, you know, a sense of belonging, of feeling loved, of belonging to one another, which is obviously really important for us as human beings.
Exactly.
Another level up from there is esteem. Mm. So if you have a really healthy relationship, you know, there's a way that you feel seen by the other person
as
valued, as sexy, as honorable, as whatever, you know, and vice versa, and that you are people of esteem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not actually people that are just, you know, not having integrity and, you know, lying to each other and, you know, not handling life in a very honorable way. From there, actualization, I think, is the level that I think, you know, what most people are aiming for is, you know, to feel full and actualized and to, you know, have your life working and to have your career working or your, you know, sense of purpose starting to be fulfilled, et cetera, and to empower each other that way.
Exactly.
You know, to have two people that are hand in hand and, you know, doing their best to create a life that's full and a bit overflowing. So, you know, that would be good, right?
Yeah,
everybody would
awesome.
Be pretty happy with just that.
Yeah, even esteem part.
What I'm going to put on the menu, you know, I don't think you can order things if they're not on the menu.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't see it as possible, it's hard to want it.
Right.
Exactly. Even if it seems a little out of reach,
I
think one of the most important things in my work with, you know, and having worked with a gazillion people is that people can see possibility and that they can let themselves want it, even if they think, who am I kidding?
Right. No, exactly.
I mean, even if you think, wow, this is really, you know, not happening for me. if you allow yourself to see what's possible and you let yourself want it, which I talk about in the beginning of my book about the longing, it's amazing how powerful that formula is. You know, there's so much can happen if you're just willing to want it.
No, it's so true. And so can you talk a little bit about that formula of, you know, some people
yeah,
would call
so,
it manifesting.
So this next level, an evolutionary relationship, so to put the thing on the menu, is it's a place where you include the other levels, but that isn't really the point.
Yeah.
What you want to do is you as two human beings who are on the planet right now in 2018 at a time when I assert, you know, that we're, and I think there are many other teachers and luminaries and visionaries and, you know, various people that are saying that there is a sea change, you know, we're shifting into a different consciousness.
Yes.
We're shifting into a different paradigm. There is a new world that will emerge.
It sure is.
If we participate, if we don't screw it up completely. So, and we're moving from being more separate. We're moving from a hyper focus on our individuality and our learning the world and creating the world through separation. You know, we've accomplished a lot,
we have.
By taking the body apart, by taking our psyches apart, by learning how the world works. I mean, we've created enormous progress in the last few thousand years by becoming more individual and by taking this world apart and finding out how it works. And with 7.5 billion people headed towards 10 billion in 2050, that is no longer the operative modality of evolution. I mean, that is not taking us where we need to go.
No, exactly. It's really true.
So as an evolutionary relationship, then, is this sense of there's something calling to us as human beings to pay attention to, something more than just our success and our survival and making sure we get enough stuff at Costco. you know, that there's a consciousness that can be developed that's very beautiful and fulfilling between us. Where we start to lose our boundaries. We start to lose this sense of separateness while, interestingly enough, feeling ourselves more distinctly than maybe ever. And that's what an evolutionary relationship is. It's two human beings who are curious about this kind of consciousness that humanity is being called to and how you develop that with each other.
You know, that is a beautiful explanation, and I always love reading, you know, what the authors who I talk with say about themselves. And, you know, you talk about your own experience, where you kind of talk about when you experience the limitless potential that exists between two human beings for your first time. And to quote you, you said, "We push the boundaries of love, moving through all the challenges that arise in any relationship." So can you share with us how that came about for you personally, what you discovered?
Gladly. So, as I said before, I was a teacher for, you know, young. You know, 18. I retired when I was like 30. And
good for you.
When I know from doing a lot in a sort of, you know, nonstop big way, you know, every night of the week. There were like hundreds, if not sometimes thousands of people I was talking to and teaching and working with. So when I was 33, I met this beautiful German mystic named Peter, who I talk about in the book. It's so funny for anybody who's listening who's gotten swept up in the Victoria Masterpiece Theater series, oh my God. I mean, Albert, who is her German husband, and who is very intense and very particular in the way he loves her, reminds me so much of Peter. It's kind of crazy.
That's cool.
So, yeah, he was just this gorgeous, intense kind of man who was very meditative and utterly not interested in anything other than kind of the depth of what was possible between us. So, so we met and fell deeply in love. You know, if there is such a thing as a twin soul, then He is mine.
That's amazing.
And we were together for 4 years, and what happened was, given that we're both very kind of wholehearted individuals also very, very committed to something larger, you know, like a commitment to the divine.
Sure.
You know, we had approached it in different ways, but we were very wholehearted.
Right,
And loving each other with that, and then loving something bigger, and the way we paid attention to each other, like, we ended up entering into what I call mutual awakening. We entered into a consciousness that was, we were becoming awakened and taken, and, you know, parts of our egos would fall apart. And I mean, it was intense.
That is intense.
You know, it was not for the faint of heart.
Right.
but so beautiful.
Aww.
I mean, it was what you dream of, you know, like it was the most breathtakingly exquisite, gorgeous experience of, I think, of God, of both the divine and the human, and love and beauty that I can ever imagine.
So when you talk about part of your ego's sort of falling apart, maybe, you know, that's a real growth thing that needs to happen sometimes, I guess. So maybe just to clarify.
Well, no, if you really, you know, if you get your prayers answered and you really experience being powerfully loved.
Yes.
Like loved, you know, like, and it's like not just him loving me or me loving him. It was like love was exploding between us.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And when that happens, man, oh man, you know, whatever your egoic ways of separating yourself,
right,
the ways that we are unconsciously separate start to burn. I mean, you actually feel them. Normally, you're just separate. Everybody else is separate, so everybody feels fine. You know, you know, it's just sort of nominally dead. But when this happens and you come alive and you feel the beauty of love, and, you know, parts of you are burning away.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were very grateful. I mean, I wouldn't have had it any other way. My commitment to life is not just to be comfortable.
Right.
So I didn't really care. But it was profound. And what happened was there was a sustained consciousness that we were in together.
Yes.
So when we woke up in the morning, we would, like, look at each other. And it wasn't like he was in his world and I was in mine.
Yeah, yeah.
We were in the same world.
Yes. You
and
both
I could
were connected.
Feel him, and he could feel me. I mean, he was so inside me, and vice versa.
That's amazing.
I mean, there was nothing that he couldn't feel. And we loved that. You know, that was like also, we had a devotion to being close and intimate, even no matter what. You know, like no matter what we were feeling, even if it felt, you know, like I felt momentarily repulsed or something, like I didn't care. Like we just wanted to be close to whatever was there.
Exactly.
And
wow,
so something profound happened.
Yes.
You know, we were together in it no matter what. And so when he died, he had a car accident, and
I'm so sorry, my God.
Was brain injured and then eventually actually killed himself.
No.
Because he was just, you know, he was completely not okay.
Some people just,
it was a nightmare, you know, like that part was,
of course,
a long story. And for a long time, I still was teaching and I was still working with people individually and in groups. You know, I'm just trying, you know, I'm raising my son and, you know, trying to just navigate my own life and really not understanding why I was given it and why it was taken away.
Exactly.
Very
hard to understand, because, I mean, you were so spiritually connected and you're seemingly in touch with your higher power, and, you know, things were happening the way they should, and then all of a sudden, you know,
it was
shit
brutal.
Happens.
I mean, it was one of those, like,
oh God,
are you kidding? And so eventually, you know, I continue to teach and work and heal, you know, and find my way into the world again. And about 13 years ago, I just came to a place where I've been teaching and working with people all over the country, and you know, there was something finished. It was like everybody's teaching, and there's coaches everywhere, and shamans and healers, and you know, like everybody's doing something.
Sure.
And I thought, okay, it's covered. You know, like we have enough people taking care of the world.
Right.
And so there was some part of me that was just like, I can't do it. And you know, like there's something not wanting to do that anymore, even though I love people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love people, and I love watching people grow and develop and all that stuff.
That's
so,
what it takes, you know, to be a leader.
Yeah, so I let go. Yeah. And then about 2 years later, so about 10 and a half years ago, I started this work, and I started to realize that I was given what I was given because... But it wasn't time for the world yet.
Right.
Because I realized the consciousness that Peter and I had shared, which was so amazing.
Right.
It wasn't just about being lovers. It was like we were in some different way of being as humans.
Yes. There was other parts of your brain that were being activated that most people don't
experience.
Yeah,
it was like really different because we were always together.
That's
I was
amazing.
Never separate from him.
That is amazing.
And I was I was becoming more myself than I have ever had ever been.
Yes.
You know, with all the transformational work and teachers and the, you know, being with him and being inside that and seeing each other at the depth that we saw each other was the most powerful way to grow.
That is amazing.
Ever.
That
ever. I mean,
Patricia, that is an amazing story.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, and that was kind of like, as a teacher, I'm thinking, wow, like, what is that?
Oh,
and so
when
the internet, you know, started and some different things, and I started to think, well, maybe it's time for me not to just completely let go of teaching, but to bring a group of people together to work what I call post-personally. So once we all came together and it wasn't just all about everybody's stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What if we came together and I taught them how to turn towards each other the way Peter and I had turned towards each other and towards this evolutionary consciousness, this impulse.
Yes.
And so I did. And it has been phenomenal. Like in the last 10 years, you know, I've worked with probably a couple thousand people and, you know, in the whole of it. In teaching them how to come together and how to do a particular practice that I call mutual awakening.
Yes.
And then to deepen this level of consciousness and connectivity that human beings can totally have.
Right, right.
It wasn't just me and Peter.
Right.
It was like we are designed to actually push past the membrane of separation so that we actually experience a different consciousness together. And that's...
Exactly.
What's got me working really hard.
Ah, Patricia, that's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Amazing, and thanks for being so, you know, vulnerable and loving to share that. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on LA Talk Radio and on the couch here with Dr. Michelle. I'm talking with an amazing woman today who's really created so many enlightening experiences and teachings for everyone around the world. Patricia Albert is the founder and director of the Evolutionary Collective, internationally known contemporary spiritual leader and author. We're talking about her latest book. It's called Evolutionary Relationships, Unleashing the Power of Mutual Awakening. And guys, if you just missed the story about Patricia's amazing relationship and really what opened her up to her awakening to really understand that there's so much more in terms of, you know, connecting with people in relationships, this is the book to get. By the way, folks, I was looking at your website, by the way, and you can find more out about Patricia as well as pick up her book, Evolutionary Relationships. Isn't it patriciaalbert.com? It's your name, right, sweetie?
You know, the easiest place, they can download the first three chapters of the book for free.
Cool.
Which I think is the best, you know, put your toe in kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if they just go to evolutionarycollective.com, it's right there.
Great. Yeah, the first three
chapters. So either evolutionarycollective.com or evolutionaryrelationshipsbook.com. Either one will give them the first three chapters for free.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
you're really rocking it in those first three chapters. So once you jump in, you're going to say, well, want to get the book. I want more, folks.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, it's a perspective that we need to proliferate, yeah, you know, kind of in the world. It's important for us as human beings to see what's next,
yeah,
and to see what's possible, and to be able to, you know, as
yeah,
there's a quote from Jesus that says, "Without vision, the people perish."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's true. I mean, I think
I
we
too.
Have to see what's possible so that we can consciously choose it, because evolution depends on us at this point.
Oh, it really does.
It does. Yeah. I mean, human consciousness is what is affecting the planet. Human consciousness is kind of where the evolution needs to move. It isn't, you know, creating a new kind of aardvark. You know, I mean, that is not
exactly
what's happening.
Yeah.
It's us.
Exactly.
And we need to evolve in a big way.
You know, we really do. And there's mm-hmm. so much chaos going on, you know, in our country right now, not to mention the world, of course, but, you know,
yeah,
the consciousness of...
Oh, it's crazy.
Yes.
I mean, it's like the dinosaurs are groaning and dying, I hope.
It's true.
Oh, Lord.
And hey, you know
pretty
what?
Bad.
On an upswing, I guess we have to go through this. Maybe this was brought to us, like you said a little bit earlier, for a reason. You know, things come to us in our lives so we can say, wait a minute, what is the hell is going on? You know, we've got to go back
well,
to really.
Here's the thing. Every single thing that I see, you know, from the perspective that I have, and obviously, you know, a deep place where I see, I can see human beings having a different consciousness and being
right.
united, and
yeah,
you know, like, is all separation. If you look
yes.
at every single thing, the
yes.
shootings
oh, yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, the Congress, you know, being ridiculous at not
oh,
being
yeah.
able to, you know, get it together. Everyone
yes.
has an individual agenda.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
There's so much selfishness.
I know.
I mean, there's like over-the-top selfishness, lack of transparency, lack of honesty, lack of
exactly.
character.
Exactly.
And no unity.
No.
You know, after 9/11 for like a day or two.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
yes.
from New York.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
For two days, they didn't honk horns.
Oh. So
in
you,
New York City, there's
there.
8 million people. It's
yeah.
bigger even than L.A.
Yes.
And... you know, there was something in the air, like we were together.
Exactly.
And then we went separate again.
Yeah. Is that what it takes? You know, a catastrophic
thing
to
bring us all together? Unfortunately, that isn't what will do it.
Right.
What is needed, because the consciousness is wanting to happen.
Yes.
But everybody's still working on themselves, right? Everybody's doing their own individual work,
right,
which is fine, but...
yeah.
There's got to be a couple of million people that have done at least enough.
Mm. Yes.
That mm. they're kind of getting sick of it. You know, they're kind of ready for...
kind of.
Okay. You know, I'm not perfect.
Right.
My life isn't perfect.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm kind of good enough.
Right, exactly.
And what if we come together and discover the consciousness of shared unity
mm-hmm.
so that we can actually create the pathways...
mm-hmm.
So that eventually, you know, if you have you only need a couple thousand people usually at the
That's
beginning
true.
Of anything
That's true.
To create the pathways in consciousness so that something can really start to happen for everybody else.
I agree. And you know, so many millennials are in that particular, I don't know what happened with the shift, but, and I looked on your website
yeah.
as well and information, and I know you have a son who's a creative artist. As
yeah,
well.
I do.
So it's amazing how I have a son as well, similar age. And it's amazing how, you know, I mean, the shift in their consciousness. I mean, they just came into this world and sort of had it within them. I mean, there's something going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they're
there,
more collective.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, they really are.
Here's the thing, though. The part of the problem is, though, that, you know, we've actually hacked into how do you enter into a kind of unity and
yes.
a sense of belonging that's
yeah.
really connected,
mm-hmm.
they do feel pretty isolated.
Mm. Yes, yeah, sometimes they do.
So there's something they have, but there's something they don't have.
I hear
and I
you.
Feel like
yeah.
we have to find, like one of the things I'm just in the process of creating is we're creating an online virtual practice community, because people
oh,
like get excited about this
yes.
and then they read the book and they're like, well, I want to do this, but then who am I going to do it with,
mm,
right? You know,
exactly.
like where are the other people that want to
right.
or know how to do it? You know, you
right.
can't just grab somebody off the street and
right.
say, do this thing with me.
Yeah.
You know, they won't necessarily know what they're doing.
No,
so
exactly.
we're creating an online global community
mm-hmm.
teaching people how to do the mutual awakening practice and then providing almost like a yoga studio. You know, there'll be classes, there'll be Zoom classes every day so that people can get on from all over the world and enter into this consciousness of practice together, and then we can further, you know, give people guidance and instruction and inspiration.
Yes.
And stuff.
So there's so many amazing things, you know, about the internet and about social media. There's so many amazing things that we can tap into and all share, you know, like you said, on a global level, which is brilliant. It really is. Kind of getting back to your book, I mean, we kind of went off, but I just really enjoy talking to you as a person. And, you know, I learn a lot about your life experiences and things that, you know, you have done and the awakening that you've experienced. But, you've identified in your book, Evolutionary Relationships, 8 activating principles. And it's just sort of helping people develop evolutionary relationships. Can we briefly just touch on some of those activating principles? So,
The principles are for the mutual awakening practice in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, this certain way of turning toward. So the principles came from when I looked at, well, how was Peter and I being together?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
what, how, you know, if it wasn't just like, oh, we just loved each other, it was like we were being a certain way.
Yeah.
And one of the activating principles, it's very simple, mm-hmm. is engagement.
Mm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
now if you just think, you know, this is sort of like one of those
just sort of basic,
you know, moments, but
No.
even if you just think about your relationship, you know, you think about a relationship that you have, and you look at, well, how engaged is it?
Exactly.
And when you show up together, you know, when you meet, you know, for dinner, or they walk through the door, you know, when you're talking, usually people aren't that engaged.
Right. Exactly. No,
you know,
not.
You're a little separate, and you're kind of listening from over here where you are. Maybe you're doing active listening, but you're still listening from being separate.
Yes. And then other people are sort of thinking about how they're being perceived. You know,
how are they being perceived?
Right?
What are they going to say?
Exactly.
You know, so all the separation, this normal human way of being with one another is so separate.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And even when you listen to your kids, you know, you're kind of like half listening sometimes.
Yes,
you know?
Sometimes we are. There's so much going on. Yeah.
There's a kind of level of, when I teach people how to do the practice and how to really, like, look into each other's eyes and where to place your attention. So instead of me listening to you, I actually allow myself to go all the way over. I call it interpenetration. Be inside you as you're experiencing, and allow myself to experience what you're experiencing through you.
That's a gift.
I can't do that. What is she talking about?
And
the truth is that people can. Your consciousness is not in your head.
It's true. No, I agree.
You know, I mean, if I say to you, place your consciousness in my voice right now, you know, allow your consciousness, if you're listening, to move into my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel it. I can actually feel you do that, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can, all of a sudden, you're like, well, I can do that. You know, you can place your consciousness in a tree. You know, I mean, you can
can
enter into things.
Right.
We just don't.
And do you think some of that has to do with you just learning and practicing how to let go? I mean, a lot of that has to do with the ego thing, too. But it's just focusing and really just sort of not having the chatter and just being and just allowing.
Here's the thing I've found is that this is a much faster way to have people enter into some extraordinary states of consciousness. You know, focusing on yourself. You know Lynn McTaggart?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
The author?
She's so good.
She's
I love her. Yeah.
Yeah, so she wrote a book called The Power of 8.
Right.
And it was really fun because she is the only time I've ever heard this, because everybody writes about mindfulness and, you know, brain states and all this stuff. And she was great. She was writing the science behind altruism.
Oh, that's why I love her.
So I know. So she was basically saying, you know, I was happy because she was validating you know, what I think.
Yeah.
But basically, she was saying that when you're meditating, when you learn how to meditate correctly, what you do is your brain kind of relaxes. It goes into a much slower frequency brain state where you start to fall away from the world.
Yeah, it's like the alpha or the theta, you know, brainwave, right?
Correct. With the kind of practice that I'm training people in, you go into like a gamma state, which is much more high frequency. It's much more like super focused. It activates like incredibly good feelings generally.
Yes.
And you can do it with your eyes open. It allows you to move into a flow state.
Wow. That's
And to be honest,
yes.
You know, I've done meditation and walked slowly and all the,
mind body stuff.
Chopped woods, you know. I mean, the, that Gurdjieff kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it always just felt kind of like part of that was just like, why am I doing this? I mean, when I move into my life, I don't move at this pace.
Right.
I can't keep closing my eyes and being quiet.
Yes.
How is that? You know, obviously, it's good to relax and it's good to be able to drop away and to experience non-dual states of consciousness, which I can.
Right.
But I don't think that's the consciousness that the universe is needing us to enter into at this point.
Right, right.
You know, it doesn't need 7.5 billion people with their eyes closed.
No, exactly. It's true. It does calm our minds a little bit, still our thoughts, so we can, you know, be more open and aware. But you're right. So, you know, with all the chatter and the inner, you know, I deal with patients who have anxiety disorders and depressive disorders and obsessive issues, and you know, there's so much chatter, and of course the, you know, the ego needs, and it's just so hard for people to get out of that.
It's amazing. I've had people from all different levels of freedom within themselves. You know, there's some people that are way more caught in neuroses and things that are very difficult.
Yeah.
But there's something about the practice, like when they learn how to do it, for 10 minutes, at least at one part of the practice, you are completely asked to get out of your own little bubble of self-concern, which is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
And to get over there with the other person, over there completely. Not even listening from inside yourself, because that doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to, like, get over there. So they practice that, and it's so liberating, because there's something too about when you're with another human being, you know, like as a therapist, you can be in a very bad mood, or you know, have just gotten upset about something, and the person walks through the door and you're going to work with them and you let it go.
Yes, you have to.
You are with them. You have to.
You absolutely do. So,
and you do it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden at the end of the session, it doesn't mean that you have the thing resolved, but you're not crazy about it anymore. You actually feel sane usually.
Exactly.
So,
because it's focusing on someone else's needs.
Yeah.
And it's really taking in what they're saying and embracing and allowing and not judging and just being with that, being present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a practice where no matter where people are, they can do it. They can get out of themselves for the other, to be inside and with and for the other. And then the other person is completely with them, with complete focus and attention. And when the space opens up, I mean, we've gone much further. The Evolutionary Collective is a group of about 100 people from around the world who meet, you know, more like 3 times a year. We do, like, we have a bigger commitment to, you know, sort of working with this consciousness. And it is amazing what we're discovering, that by being so connected to each other and having this consciousness getting stronger and stronger, the kind of healing, the kind of things that are falling away for people, it's way easier than people working on themselves.
Yes. Yeah, it goes way beyond the cognitive behavioral tools that we teach.
No kidding.
You know, it's just on another level, but you help people, you know, get there. And by the way, in case you just tuned in, folks, you're, you know, here on the couch with me, Michelle, and we're talking about evolutionary relationships and my special guest, Patricia Albert. Her book is amazing. It's Unleashing the Power of Mutual Awakening, and it's really helping you with all relationships. No matter what, friends and family and loving, you know, soulmates, hopefully. You know, a lot of people who I, you know, meet with and stuff, they say, how can I find my soulmate? Do you think that we attract to others, or do you think we open ourselves up for the, quote, universe to bring us those people?
Well, the interesting thing about this is if you're supposed to find your soulmate, if you actually got into this, you know, like started to get either on the virtual community or, you know, you start practicing going deeper, you fall so in love with people. I mean,
right.
It's kind of the depth that happens between people is almost shocking. Like, you're kind of like going, what do I do with this? Oh my God, you know?
Right.
So you start to be trafficking in, living in the kind of frequency, the kind of intimacy and love and energy that you're hoping for with a beloved.
Yes.
And you're experiencing that like on a daily basis if you're practicing with other people, then you're more likely to have someone come, and you're not a starving person.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, part of why I think people, you know, can get really crazy when they do find someone who's really the right person, we're starving to death. So by the time they get there, like, you don't even treat the thing in the right way because you're so hungry.
It's scary sometimes to other
people. No, you're
people.
Just, no,
right.
And people don't, I mean, the thing that was interesting is that when I started to teach this and I started entering into these kinds of states with people, with other women, and, you know, I was just like, wow, like, it wasn't just Peter. Like, this is really what humans have as a potential between
us. Yes, so true.
And, you know, you could have a friend for 20 years and you do this practice and all of a sudden it's like you go to a place you've never been before and you never forget it.
No, it's really true. It's amazing.
So,
yeah, it's.
I do think if you want your soulmate, this will at least get you in shape.
Yes, absolutely.
And it will make it possible that you don't scare the hell out of them when they show up because you're so hungry.
Yes, you're so, right. You want to tell them everything and you want to just share it. And then people go,
Or you're just too needy.
Yes,
you know, you're too starving for being met and making that real contact. And I do think that this will really, you know, really does help people in that way. We have people, you know, falling in love and having stuff happen, you know, but that isn't the reason they're there. It's funny. It's like that's a byproduct.
Right. That's exactly, that's well put, you know. And in the book, guys, you can find out about how to create the evolutionary relationships with the activating principles. And, you know, Patricia talks about engagement, commitment, truth, and trust. Ooh, these are big issues. Woohoo! Openness, uniqueness, mutual influence, contact. And then, you know, it's all about, you know, learning the process. And you really probably should, guys, get this book if you want to move into...
The trust chapter is worth buying the book.
Oh, yes, it is.
Because it talks about, like, relationships. You know, trust is obviously core.
Yeah.
It talks about basic trust, like this sort of deep underlying trust that has to be restored.
Yep.
Relative trust and generative trust. So you can actually really navigate the totality of what is needed so that you can actually have a relationship that works.
It's
usually when trust is broken in a relationship or you're not paying attention, the whole thing is ruined.
It's true. It totally is.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the most common issues that I hear. You know, people who come in individually or even couples, it's about trust. A lot of it has to do with, you know, of course, their inner, you know, feeling about themselves and their own fears and their old fears and yada, yada. But I think your techniques really help people get to that place where they can trust. And it's really terrific.
And they know how to navigate it,
you
know, because if you're going to know anybody for more than a minute, you know, the trust will be broken at some point, some level of it.
Yeah.
And to create something that goes deeper, you know, you have to know how to navigate being human and going further.
And allow. And allow.
Yeah.
And learn.
Yeah.
Listen, Patricia, it's about that time already. We've run out of time. I can't believe it. It's so awesome talking to you. And thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's really, really been enlightening for me. And I know the listeners loved it, too. I'm getting some texts here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com saying, amazing, great, where can I get the book? Well, the book is at evolutionarycollective.com. Or, of course, easy to do, or patriciaalbert.com. And this will be up in the archives tomorrow, guys. So in case you missed some of the show, you can listen to the reruns.
Can I say one more thing? Because I know you're in L.A.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the in Tustin doing like an afternoon and working with this on the 2nd. like
perfect.
2 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome. So March 2nd. And
at Unity of Tustin. So at Unity of Tustin on March 3rd, I guess it is, would be the Sunday.
Perfect.
I will be there in case there's anybody from your neck of the woods.
Love it. And they can find out more about that at the evolutionarycollective.com website, right?
Absolutely.
Super.
Yep.
Patricia, you're the best. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, guys, and like I said, you know, this all this information will be up on the website in the archives later today. So check it out. Don't miss it. All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. As I always say, do take care of yourselves first. Know that which you are, and check out Patricia's book. It'll help you a lot with your relationships, evolutionary relationships. I'll be back next week with more great information for you. Another super author talking about finding more about your identity, your purpose, and living the life you want. All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye.